One of the things I've been sharing with you about over the past few weeks has been the reality of the Holy Spirit in each of our lives and how important it is to have the Holy Spirit in our life and be a very integral key part of our life. And that is especially true when we read the scriptures, and I want to spend some time reflecting with you on that today. But along that line, I'd like to share with you Bible stories retold by young scholars. God got tired of creating the world, so he took the Sabbath off. Adam and Eve were created from an apple tree. Noah's wife was called Joan of Arc. Lot's wife was a pillar of salt. Moses went up on Mount Sinai to get the Ten Amendments. The first commandment was when Eve told Adam to eat the apple. That's good. That's a good one, yeah. The fifth commandment is to humor your mother and father. Moses died before he ever reached Canada. Joshua led the people of Israel in the Battle of Jericho. And finally, the greatest biblical miracle, Joshua told his son to stand still, and he obeyed him. So you know what, there's different people read the Bible and remember different things. And it's important for you and I to have an understanding of what the scripture says. You know, the reality that we read about today in 2 Timothy, our second lesson today, very small scripture, but very powerful. And I really would encourage you to take your bulletin home, cut that scripture out, highlight it, whatever you want to do, put it somewhere where you can look at it. All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so what Paul is sharing with Timothy and with each one of us is how important scripture is for us, for our lives. It gives direction to our life. It gives shape to our life. It teaches us in the way to go. And it's also interesting, it says in here that it's God-breathed. And we were talking the past couple of weeks about the Holy Spirit in our life. And you'll notice a lot of times when I'm talking about the Holy Spirit and when I'm reading scriptures to you, there's the word breath that's used in relationship to the Holy Spirit. In fact, it's done fairly consistently. And there's a reason for that. The Holy Spirit is part of God's breath in the world and part of God's breath into my life and into your life. And what that means is there is creativity that's going on. As God breathed upon the holy upon creation through the Holy Spirit, as God breathed into the first man and gave life to humanity, as God breathed into the Holy Spirit into the Scripture, there is life that is taking place, and that's why it says today in 2 Timothy that all Scripture is God breathed. That breath is the Holy Spirit, and in fact, as you look at the Scripture throughout time. And as you look at the New Testament, you realize that the Scripture itself was written by a number of different people over a different period of time. And as you look at that Scripture and you look at the expanse of time over literally thousands of years, what's amazing to me is overall the consistency, both in terms of the prophecies that are in the Old Testament about the Messiah, the consistencies that you can find in the Gospels and even the epistles themselves. And so what we celebrate is the reality that as these different authors were writing the Holy Scripture, they were doing so under the influence of the Holy Spirit, that God was moving them, that God was touching them, that God was teaching them through the Holy Spirit. You can even read in the Bible where it says that if we were to write down everything that Jesus did, there wouldn't be enough books to contain all of it. And so the reality is that as you and I read the Bible, as you and I read the New Testament, we realize, even from that one part of Scripture, that everything that Jesus did is not in this book. That's a pretty amazing thought, isn't it? But everything that the Holy Spirit wanted to have in here about Jesus is. And so that's why it's important for you and I to be in the Scripture, to be reading them, and allow God's Holy Spirit to speak to us through them and to breathe upon us. God's Word brings understanding, direction, and energy to every person who reads it. Jim Cimbala shares in his book, When God's Spirit Moves, thousands stand ready to split doctrinal hairs and instruct others in the fine meaning of Scripture's words. But there are so few through whom the Holy Spirit can work to bring people to new birth in the kingdom of God. And isn't that true? You know, as you look at the history of the church, unfortunately, so much of our history has been spent fighting over what these words mean. You know what? Welcome to humanity, right? There are huge debates over even what Holy Communion means. There are some people who believe that it simply remains bread and wine. It doesn't become the real presence of Christ. We believe in the Episcopal Church, it's called the Doctrine of the Real Presence, that we believe it is bread and wine, but it also, mysteriously, it becomes the body and blood of Christ. And you can just go down the line with different faith groups, and they'll have all kinds of different understandings of just that one special meal in the Holy Scripture in terms of Holy Communion. And so what Pastor Cimbala is saying to us is that for so long, the church has been fighting over the meaning of different words in this Bible. And maybe what you and I really need to be doing is finding ways for us to come together on what we can agree on. And may I just suggest a place? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. I think that'd be a good place to start. The power of love. The power of God's grace, the power of God's mercy, and walking together in that. We need the Holy Spirit to illuminate the words of Scripture as only He can. The psalmist says in Psalm 119, "Open my eyes that I might see the wonderful things in your law." And so even in the Old Testament, even David, as he wrote the words of the psalm, was crying out to God, was crying out to the Spirit of God, to illuminate his eyes, to open up his eyes so that he can understand the beautiful things that are in God's law or God's word. And that'd be a beautiful way for you and me to pray as well. As we read the Scripture, as we spend time in this holy book, ask the Holy Spirit to guide and lead us. Ask the Holy Spirit to open our eyes. You don't have to spend 5 minutes doing this, asking that. It's as simple as, before you begin to read the Bible, Holy Spirit, help me to understand. Help me to see with spiritual eyes. Help me to comprehend. Help me to understand what God is speaking to me. Guide and lead me in the Scripture as I read to what you would have me understand and what you want me to know so I can live out my life today in a way that's pleasing to you. And it's as simple as that. I think I shared with you last week when I was growing up in a particular church, I didn't read the Bible. Actually, I gave it a try, and I found it incredibly boring. Just being honest with you. I read it. It was boring to me. I think I might have started, big mistake, I started out in the Old Testament. Probably started with Leviticus or Numbers or something like that, and that's it's a killer. It was a killer for me. Game over. I tried a couple of chapters of that about sacrificing this and sacrificing that, and it was like my mind was in a totally different place, and I just put it down. It wasn't speaking to my life. But as I came into a more personal and close relationship with Jesus Christ and invited the Holy Spirit to be a part of my life, I was taught to ask the Holy Spirit to open up the words of Scripture to me. And so I began to do that, a very simple prayer. And what I found was I started then with the Gospel of John, good choice. And as I read that gospel, it was like a light bulb went on. Literally, it was like somebody turned a light on for me, and I began to understand the words that I was reading. It was actually engaging to me. It was like God was speaking to me. It was like the words were alive on that page, and it was because they were. And so I just want to make a suggestion to any of you here today who maybe haven't really read the Bible. You've never really read the Scripture before. And I want to be an encouragement to you to take a dip, take a swim in this book. Do not start with Leviticus. Do not start with Numbers or Deuteronomy. You can get there eventually, but don't start there. Let me make a suggestion, and it was where I started, and I just found it very helpful. I actually would suggest you start with the Gospel of John. And one of the first things that the person who brought me to Christ did with me is he sat down with this book, and he led me through about two or three different studies. One of them, I believe it was John 15, where it talks about Jesus being the vine and we being the branches. And he talked about the importance of how we need to abide in Christ because we get our life from him and from the Holy Spirit. And that one of the ways we abide with him is in the Scripture by reading it. See, that's so simple. It's so simple, but nobody ever explained it to me. It might be simple, but if you don't explain it to me, I won't know that. I won't know why it's important if you don't tell me why. I'm telling you why. It's important for you to read the Scripture each day because it's a way for you to stay connected to the vine of Jesus, to be connected with the Holy Spirit, and allow the Holy Spirit to breathe on you, to breathe life on you, to give fire into your heart and to your soul, to guide and lead your life. That's one of the important things to do. You may remember last week we spent some time in 1 Corinthians 12. That was another place that my mentor led me in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 12. And as I read there, I read about, of all persons, the Holy Spirit. Imagine that. And in there it talks about the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. He shared with me about the importance of actually having a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And that as I do, there are different gifts, supernatural, natural, gifts that will be a blessing to other people that the Holy Spirit will give me. I was so glad he told me that. I didn't know that. Nobody ever had ever told me that before, even within the church I grew up in. And the reason why I didn't learn that in the church that I grew up in was because they didn't really teach about the Holy Spirit. You don't know if nobody's going to tell you. And so I'm sharing this with you. I'm sharing this with you. So I've given you a couple of places to start in the Bible. The Gospel of John. You can start with John 15 if you want. Read about the vine and the branches. You can go to 1 Corinthians 12. We just did that last week about the manifestation of the Spirit being for the common good. If you're going through a hard time in your life and you really feel like you need to cry out to God about some things, go to the Psalms. Those are wonderful. You can go there, and I've done this. You can do this. Go to the Psalms. Make sure nobody's in the house. You can make sure nobody's around. And then just start praying out the Psalms out loud. Cry out to God. Why, oh God, have you forsaken me? Psalm 22. Where are you? I feel like all these enemies are coming against me. Have you felt like that before? Sure you have. David felt like that many times, and he cried out to God. And you and I can do that as well with the Psalms. Are you going through a difficult place? Do you feel like you're going through the valley? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Psalm 23. So again, you can make these psalms your own. They're there for you to use and to actually be a prayer, to cry out to God and to share your heart with him. Looking for wisdom? Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and incline not on your understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. The Proverbs are actually a collection of teachings that they used in ancient Israel to raise up the rulers that would ultimately be the kings over Israel. You ever want instruction of what it might be like to be a king or a queen? You might already be a princess. I don't know, right? Proverbs is the part of the Bible that you want to read. There is a lot in here. There's a lot in here. And if you've never, ever really been in the Bible before, now is your chance. Now is your chance to begin to do that. I've had messages like this before, just so you know, where I've shared about the importance of reading the Scripture. And some people have actually taken me up on the challenge to actually begin to do that. And I'm not telling a story, I'm telling you the truth. Some of them have actually come back to me. One gentleman in particular who began to read the Scripture and has told me it literally has changed his life. changed his life in the most incredible way. We've had people in this church in their 80s. I'm not saying whether it's old or not, I'm just saying in their 80s. Who never ever picked up the Bible. Never. Because it was never part of their life. They were never encouraged to do that. They came to a Bible study. They came to a church service. They opened their heart to Christ. They opened their heart to the Holy Spirit. And guess what we did? We encouraged them to get a Bible. I can't tell you how exciting it was for me and for some of the other leaders of the study, for somebody in their 80s to come to the study with their first Bible that they ever bought, opening it up and sitting down and learning from God's Word. And not only were we were excited, they were excited. And guess what happened? God spoke to them. God spoke life into their being. They felt a sense of the Holy Spirit, tears coming down their cheeks, a sense of God ministering to them in a way like never before. Isn't that exciting? I mean, I'm just trying to, get into the Word of God. I just want to encourage people to read, right? I want to encourage people to get into books and history and life and read. Don't just sit in front of the TV all day or listening to your music or focusing on your iPhone or Android or whatever device you might have. Get into some books and crack it open and read. Reading is a lost art in our day, and we are the poorer for it. I know there's a part of my bookshelf where I have a few books that I've read a few times. I just keep going back to them because they speak to me and they're just timeless. Maybe you do as well. And my hope and prayer for you and I is that the Bible, if it's not already, might be one of those books for you in a very real way. In closing, if you take time to read this book and you invite the Holy Spirit to open up your eyes in a way like never before, let me share with you what's going to happen. The Holy Spirit's going to do that. Holy Spirit's going to use this book and use the words on this page to speak into your life in a way like never before. Going to give you insight. Going to give you direction. Going to give you a sense of love that you've never had before, of God's presence being with you. You're going to have a sense of feeding your spirit. You're going to have a sense of being full and being at peace and being in God's presence. You're going to have a sense of being nourished spiritually and having a sense of direction for your life like you've never, ever had before. Sound too good to be true? Take the Father Joe challenge. All scripture is inspired by God and is used for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient and equipped for every good work. May it be so for each and every one of us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.